Well, good evening. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. It has been, the beginning of this month has been a few weeks, it was right after Bible camp, that I was here at the building, was getting ready. I can tell you the day, I was getting ready for class to begin at the Bible Institute, and I was putting together my syllabus and making sure that I had everything lined out, and I opened my computer, put in my password, and usually it's at this time that I take the cursor, which is, it's a laptop, so it's just my finger, but I put that arrow in the top right corner, because what pops up is internet access. So I can type in whatever I want. If I want to get online or whatever, look something up on the internet. And usually I close that right away so that I can work in Word or some of the other programs and things that I have. But this day, I put in my password, and I had opened up my binder for class and was getting the syllabus from last year out so that I could look at it. And I looked at my desktop, and what happened to be on the screen, there's this, I don't know what you call it, in the middle of the screen, it moves to the left and has all of these different topics and things that are trending that day. And I was stopped in my tracks. Thing that came up said divorce gets a rebrand as women turn heartbreak into summer's hottest trend. You have my attention. So I do what I very rarely do. I click on that because I wanted to read it. I wanted to know and understand. And so I clicked on it. And I have my phone here because I have to read this picture because I took a screenshot of it with my phone. It says, being divorced is hot. Why women are turning heartbreak into the summer's most unexpected lifestyle trend. And it has the story of three women. The first one is in her 20s. She has a baseball hat on and a fake mustache. She has on some of her ex-husband's clothes, a t-shirt and shorts of his, tube socks pulled up to her knees and tennis shoes on, and she's holding a beverage. She has all of these friends with her that they are dressed the exact same way. She has a pillow that she's shoved up underneath of her shirt to make it look like she has a dad bod or a beer belly. And I am blown away. I begin to read this article. Just didn't want to be married anymore. Got tired of it. Got together with some of her friends who felt the same way. When I was 9 or 10 years old, there was a woman in my hometown that she and her husband were having problems. And she gathered together 7 or 8 of her friends, and they would have a girls' night out once a week. And what started out is, I guess, something that was innocent, and her actually, and we'll get to this, her actually looking for actual help, turned into, let's bash our husbands. One of those women was my aunt. And 7 of the 8 in that group left their husbands, including my aunt, to go off and form this, they called themselves DWG, the Divorced Women's. Once a week, they would have a girls' night out. What started out in a woman's home moved to a restaurant, moved to a bar, and then to a club, where they allowed men who were not their husbands to talk to them in ways as if they were. And these women, one after another, began leaving their husbands. I thought about that as I read through each of those women's stories. There's three women. The second one, she wanted more friends in her life instead of just the one. She thought that was boring, so she needed more company. She was in her late 30s, early 40s. The third one is dressed in a little black dress. She has taken the train off the back of her wedding dress and she has sewn it onto this little black dress, and she has cut off the bottom of it and made it into a cape because she's a superwoman who can do it all by herself. Decided she didn't need men anymore. In reading through these articles, not one of them got a divorce for the reason given in Matthew chapter 19 that Jesus gives. Not one. They all just decided. But they found it interesting each time. They all had searched for people, friends, who had felt the same way that they did. They all wanted the same type of influence in their life. And I'll tell you that as I read these articles, the thing that I kept seeing, what kept coming up for me, this picture that started this whole thing, is of a woman's hands. You can see her shirt in the background, her hands are in the foreground, and she has her two hands like this. Her right hand is removing her wedding ring as this becomes the hottest trend. I thought about that in the lives of others. Perhaps what others see is they turn their computer on and what pops up and what they see. And this one was one that all I could see as far as the heading and the title went, Satan Wins. That's all I saw. Was because that's the influence that was being given in their life. Now I'll go back to the original story of when I was a child. The only woman who did not leave her husband was the original woman. She didn't leave her husband because what she was seeking wasn't women to affirm her having a bad marriage. She was looking for people to help her and give her advice, to help her fix her marriage, to make her marriage better. And what she found was people who just wanted to complain about their marriages and try to tell her that she's just better off without that guy in her life. And so she slowly started taking steps back from that group. And they, headstrong, carried on. She found a group. She started talking to other women who had the same issues. And they started deciding what could be done to solve those issues so that they could make their marriages better and stronger. You see, what first started with what she would consider her best friends, she found out they weren't friends at all. The advice they gave and the things that they told her to do were completely ungodly. When she started seeking out people who were going to give her the reasons to stay, which is what she was looking for, the reason to stay. And she said, I tried to reiterate that over and over and over again. They didn't want to listen. They had an alternate agenda to go on and do what they wanted to do, what they felt was right. I think about those things that we do in our lives and who we seek out. You see, when she looked for the influence that she wanted, that's exactly what she found. And here in Psalm 119, I want you to think about you tonight. We're going to begin in verse 73. I want you to notice what the psalmist has to say. He said, your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. Those who fear you will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in your word. I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Let, I pray, your merciful kindness be for my comfort according to your word to your servant. Let your tender mercies come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. Let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood, but I will meditate on your precepts. Let those who fear you turn to me, those who know your testimonies. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes, that I may not be ashamed. As you can tell, that day really has stuck with me. It's been almost a month. And I still can tell you where I was sitting in that office right there. I can tell you what I was doing. I can tell you in a lot of detail. This one hit me really hard, because what I sat down and started to look at and reading through those articles, you may say, well, Corey, why'd you read those articles? I wanted to know the why. I wanted to know why they were looking this way and what they were looking for. And the why every single time was because they wanted somebody to give credit to their desires. Their desires weren't godly in any way, shape, or form. Their desires were completely selfish and prideful. Their desires, they just needed somebody else to acknowledge them and to encourage them. And that's all they looked for, and they found exactly what they were looking for. I want you to look at verse 74. The psalmist has said in verse 73, you made me. You are the one who formed me. I love verse 74. In verse 74, the psalmist says, those who fear you, they'll be happy when they see me. I love our young men, and ladies, I love you too. Please don't misunderstand me. I love our young men when they get up here to pray. You know, one of my favorite things that they say, because they have listened to prayers their whole life, is that we get to be gathered here with those of, there's a couple of phrases that they'll use, like-minded faith or like precious faith. You know, Peter writes about that like precious faith that we get to have. And I love how precious it is. This weekend, Addison had a softball tournament in Republic. So we were in Republic. And I say at times we're amongst the land of the living. It's not that we're amongst the land of the dead here. It's just that there's a lot more people in some of those other areas, okay? And in those areas, they have places like Walmart, which I know we all love, right? Nobody likes Walmart. But it's necessary sometimes to get the things that we need. So we went into Walmart yesterday after their last game. And you know what? As soon as we walked in, there were people from Dadeville. You know what we did? And you know what they did? They waved. Because we recognized one another, didn't we? And we were happy to see each other. Went down this other aisle. Corey Orr! And I turned. And there's more Dadeville people. And I waved and smiled. And they, I know this may be shocking to you, but they smiled at me and waved like they were happy to see me. You know how exciting it is to walk into school and see your kids, see our kids? I love it. I love it. There's this third grade class that I will walk down the hallway to go get Dalton so that we can go to cross country, or I can pick him up and take him home. And there are a couple boys in that third grade class, and every time I see them, I get a high five, don't I? Yeah, I do. And they both smile. Ethan comes out, and he's like, Corey, you're here. Yep. Yeah, I am. I'm here. And Asa will walk by, and I will say, hi, Asa. It's good to see you today. Good to see you too, Corey. And I get a high five, and he is headed on to wherever he is going, whether that's the bus or parent pickup or whatever it is. They're going on about their day, but you know what? I get a smile and a high five. It makes my day. Absolutely makes my day. Those high schoolers and junior high kids, they're a little bit harder to get a hold up. Usually if my daughter sees me, it's an eye roll, and right? I know that she loves me. Then I get to see some of these other guys, and I get a hi, Corey, and I get a wave. This is what that feels like in verse 74. Those who fear you, well, they're going to be happy when they see me. You know why? He gives the why. That's what I love. In verse 74, he says, those that fear you will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I hoped in your word. Because that's where my hope is. My hope is in your word, not mine, and certainly not anybody else's. And I'm not looking for anybody who has to take what I think, my opinion, and validate. That's not what it is. I've hoped in your word. The thing I love about Psalm 119 is every single verse, starting in verse 1, all the way to the end, and it's the longest chapter in the Bible. All of them, every verse talks about your word, commandments, precepts, testimonies, statutes. Everyone talks about God's word. All of them. I love it. I love it. Because this is what we should be seeking every moment of the day. In everything that we do. Your judgments are right. Your judgments. Your word is right. In faithfulness you've afflicted me. His mercy, his kindness are such great comfort. Because he does so according to his word. I think if you go on down. Verse 79. Let those who fear you turn to me. Those who know your testimonies, not mine. I don't need to give mine. You gave yours. And when I study your word and I look at your word, I can see what you would have me to do. And let those who fear you turn to me. In other words, we can build off of one another. I can be an example to them. They can be an example to me. Why? Because we know your testimonies, your word. Because we're going to follow after it. Let my heart be blameless regarding your statutes that I may not be ashamed. I want you to think about these things from this psalm tonight. First of all, the incredible thing is God is unchangeable. He's unchangeable. He's not going to change. He is always going to be the same. Those statutes and commandments, those judgments and testimonies, his word, always going to be the same. Always. It's not going to contradict. It's always going to be the same. What you and I can find is this. The influence that we would like to have in our life, we can find it. If you want people who will build you up to do things that are sinful and ungodly, you know, you can find it. You sure can. Did you know that you can find those who would help you to live and do what God would have you to do? To live that way? They're glad to see you. They're happy to see you. Why? Because you follow God's word. Because that's the foundation of your life. You have your hope placed in him. God is unchangeable. God also, what we have to see is he is the one who is capable. Look at verse 74 again. If I have put my hope in his word, those who fear him, revere him, put him in that number one place in their life. Boy, it's exciting to see each other. We talk about how small the world is at times. And we talk about the fact that even in the church it gets smaller, right? Because we may be states away and we run into people that we know because of the church. We may be in a place that maybe we wouldn't expect to see someone. I know a buddy of mine that he said, I went for the first time to a foreign country, and you know who I saw there? And it was a mutual friend that we had that was also a brother in Christ. He said, I saw him, and we were so glad to see each other. We went to dinner 3 nights in a row just so we could hang out and spend time together. And he said, we were on vacation, but I couldn't wait to see him, and I couldn't wait to find out what they had done that day. We made time to meet up. You know, they made time. The same thing we can do, make time to be there for one another. God is capable because we have hoped in his word, and that's where we place our hope in his word. Look with me at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. These are a very short group of verses that are all put together here as Paul closes out his first letter here to those at Thessalonica. God is capable. Now think about where we place our hope. And then what that looks like in our lives. Verse 15, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. See that? That's the influence that you have and allow in your life. Pursue what is good. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You see that? Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing because God is capable and can always be counted on. And therefore, I can always turn to Him. Always. Regardless of anything else happening in my life, always He's the constant. He's the consistent. Always I can count on Him, for Him to always listen to me, be there for me. And I have this right here that I can spend my time in so that I know what He would have me to do. It doesn't mean it's easy. That's why I pray without ceasing. Sometimes life's hard. I know people that go through rough patches in their marriage. My wife and I have had our days, okay? But not one time have I ever needed to talk to somebody about whether or not I should stay with her. Because I know what God expects of me. I know what He'd have me to do. Not one time have I ever thought about that. You know, I could find those people. I could find those people who would tell me that, yeah, you should leave there. Your wife is, you fill in the blank. I know how blessed I am. But I know the reason that I'm blessed is because she is a child of God who is seeking to do what God would have her to do, and that's the type of influence she gets to be on my life. And that's the type of influence that, dumb as I am at times, I get to be in her life as well. But I know at the end of the day, God is capable and that He wants the absolute best for my wife and I at all times. And it's the same thing that He wants for everyone, for us to look to Him for everything that we have, to put our hope and our trust in Him. God is also, if you go back to Psalm 119, and look at verse 75. God is gracious. Your judgments are right, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. You want the absolute best for me. You see, this is God demonstrating His love. In everything that He does, He is demonstrating His love. He corrects us according to His word. He makes it to where we know what to do in order to be right with Him. We think about places like 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why is it profitable? Reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You see how it starts off? Reproof, correction, instruction. It's teaching. So I know what to do to be right with Him. That's why I gave Him. That according to His word, I know what I'm supposed to do. And you know, because I live the way that He would have me to, the people around me know those same things. They get to see that in me and in my life. And this is what they should see in me. Go to 1 John chapter 3. Because this is where, when we think about what God would have us to do and how He would have us to live, these are the things that kept going through my mind as I read this article over and over again, thinking every time Satan wins in the lives of those who just want to do the opposite of what God would have them to do. Here in 1 John 3, beginning in verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us because it did not know Him." Why? Because they don't want to. They don't want to know Him. Boy, those who fear Him, though, they're glad to see me. They should be glad to see us. Because we have the same mind, the same heart, the same attitude toward doing what God would have us to do. And how does He demonstrate it? Go down to verse 16. "By this we know love, because He laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." By this we know love, because He did it. Because of the example that He set. His love is always a demonstration. Always He wants the best for us. And if you look at verse number 8 of chapter 4, "He who does not love does not know God." Why? Because God is love. God is love. And if I demonstrate that in my life, if I show that to others. And not just this flippant, I love you. But that I show up and that I help. And when I see brethren, when I see those who are struggling, I don't need to ask how you're doing. I already know. I just need to show up. Sometimes you don't have to say anything. Maybe give them a hug. Maybe just sit down next to them. Let them know you're there. You see, that's the demonstration of love that says, I'll be right here. Here's the other side of that. I want you to go back to the story that I told you of those ladies like my aunt. The original lady who reached out to the people that she thought were her best friends, who gave her the worst possible advice that she ever could have received. What I know is this. This has been years ago. That those women who she first reached out to as her friends, maybe they've mended bridges along the way, but I know for a long time there was no relationship any longer. Because what she found were those people that she had counted on and trusted were only going to be there when things were good, but when things got rough, they were going to grow the other way. They were going to do what they wanted to do. They weren't going to be there to fight for, to help her, to fight for her marriage, to fight for her family. My aunt had three kids that she just walked away to go and live how she wanted, do what she wanted. I tell you that because I realize that for the majority of you, that's not going to be the issue that you have, but maybe there's something you are struggling with. Maybe there is something in your life that you need help with. You have a family here who loves you and desires the absolute best for you. A family here who wants to be able to help you through difficult times. And a family who's going to show you what God would have you to do. They're going to help you see and understand what it is to live a godly life, but what it is to get through this difficulty, and that you're not by yourself. Sometimes the greatest thing we can tell somebody, and you better mean it and you better do it, is I'm praying for you. Because I may not know exactly what you need and how to help you, but God does. He knows exactly what you need and He knows exactly how to help you. And I'm going to pray for you that you find exactly what you need to help you through that difficult time in your life. And if I can do more, if I can just come sit with you, more than happy to do that. If you want, I can sit down and pray with you. And we can give it to God. You see, that pray without ceasing, it's not just a short little verse that people memorize. It's a lifestyle that says, I'm as committed to you as I know you are to me. That's what that says. God's commitment is, I will always be there when you call on me and when you need me. I'm always there, always there. You'll never have to wonder. You don't ever have to guess. I'm right there. We're here for you too. Maybe tonight you need to join the body of Christ. Become a member of that family. To realize and understand that in Christ is where every spiritual blessing lies. To have those prayers heard and answered. Maybe you need to become a child of God. Put Christ on in baptism. To change location from outside of Christ to in Christ, to have your sins washed away, to rise and walk in newness of life, living faithful unto death, and having people there along the way to help you do just that. Or maybe tonight, as a child of God, there are things in your life that are going on, things that you need help with. I'll tell you this, the people to reach out to are those who fear God and keep His commandments, those who love Him and put their hope and trust in Him. If we can help you in any way, we'd invite you to come now as together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.